In These Wings, I'm so excited. We've got Oscar winners, we've got groundbreaking actors, and the leading lights that make all your favourite shows happen. Unfortunately, Bethany Black is not able to make the panel now, but we do have some trans questions, so I'm going to try and fill in for her. And it's hosted by a very dear friend of mine, the editor of Attitude, Mr. Matthew Todd. Please give him a warm welcome.
Hello, I'll sit down because I feel like Lorraine Kelly for the first time ever, which is really exciting. Can I quickly just say a big thank you to Tom, Guy, and everybody on the steering committee and everybody who works on Student Pride. They don't get paid for doing this. They do this for free. They sweat blood and tears for this event, and they do it all for you because they know how important it is for you guys to have an opportunity. Can you hear me? Is it working?
It's gone.
Is it gone? Have you got a handheld mic anywhere, just so you can hear me?
Yeah.
I don't mind holding it. I always wanted to be Sunita, so that's fine.
I could afford down the steps like
so, Madonna, yes, I just wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say thank you to Tom Guy and everyone who does Student Pride because they work their guts out for you guys to put this event on, so thank you very much. Hooray. Is that better? Awesome. So please let's welcome our panel. Everyone can just come on in. Let's come on in and then I'll introduce everybody. So first of all, we have Dustin Lance Black, who is a screenwriter, director, producer, and LGBT activist. Welcome, Dustin. He is a founder member of the American Foundation for Equal Rights, and he wrote the screenplay for the 2008 Gus Van Sant-directed film, Milk. Amazing stuff. Amazing speech. I watched it again this morning. It made me cry. So, welcome, Dustin. You're very welcome. Thank you for coming. Next up is Dominic Treadwell Collins, who is a British TV producer and currently the executive producer of EastEnders, which has just celebrated its first birthday. What did you do to Bobby? You demon, you. How could you? How could you? Welcome. Next up, please welcome Heather Peace. Actress and musician. Starred in Waterloo Road and also in the fantastic BBC Three drama Lip Service. Thank you so much for coming, Heather. Welcome. And also next is Alicia Io. Please welcome Alicia. She's an actress, special ed playing movie Haswell and Emmerdale, and Jenny Blum in Bad Girls. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And also the fabulous Paris Lees for stepping in right at the last minute. We love you. Hooray, hurrah. So the idea is we're going to take questions. This is all about LGBT issues, representation in TV, film, music, and entertainment. So has anyone got any questions? I know that some people... Is that me or is that you?
I don't know.
It's a nice sound. Let's make beautiful music.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Can you hear me? So I was just wondering why there aren't more out people in TV and in Hollywood, and also why people who are out and the stories that are told tend almost always to be of white gay men and nobody else in the community.
Okay, so two big questions there. Let's start off with the first big one. It's a biggie. I think it goes to you first.
Sure, yeah, I'll take it. I couldn't hear very well, so...
Basically, why aren't there more big, famous, out gay actors?
Why aren't there more?
Yes, and also why are so many LGBT characters always white middle class?
Yeah, gay, that's a great question. Especially to the gay white guy. But let me start. I mean, the truth is there are tons of gay and lesbian actors in Hollywood. Let's just face it. We all know what drama club looked like in school. There's plenty of gay and lesbian folks. It's just that for so many years now, particularly in the sort of agent level and manager level in Hollywood, there's been a lot of closeting going on. And I think it comes from that level more than it comes from, say, the studio and the producers. Certainly I know if I use Milk as an example, we were trying to cast openly gay people in those roles. The studio was on our side, the producers were on our side, certainly the director was backing that idea. We hit a wall with the managers and agents. And the problem there is outdated thinking. They've gone out, they've started looking for talent, they found some very talented people, they invest all this time and money and energy into them and before they become quote unquote stars, and they think that somehow it's going to hurt their bottom line if these actors come out. It's outdated thinking. I thank God for actors like Matt Bomer, for like Neil Patrick Harris, for people who are obviously proving that theory wrong. I also think that you're not going to see it continue because, frankly, let's be honest, young people, young actors are coming out now online and on social media at a young age. There's no going back into the closet after that. So the managers and the agents are having to finally grow up, get a spine, and support their actors when they want to be out in film and television. Thank goodness. That's the first. The second is there's a real problem, and it's being tackled, at least in Hollywood, starting with the Writers Guild. And I think this starts with writing when it comes to representation, not just being gay white men. You know, we write what we know. The issue right now in Hollywood is that it is not representational of who we are as an LGBT community. It is mostly gay white men, or frankly, white men running so many of these writers' rooms. Now what it's gonna take is diversity initiatives. It's gonna take some studios with balls to step up and to start hiring writers who are diverse, who then can start writing what they know and what they know well, and we'll start to see that diversity reflected in the stories about us as a people.
That's pretty comprehensive, yeah. Dominic, you're one of those horrible men who presses all the buttons and makes all the decisions, but obviously you're doing an amazing job on EastEnders, but what do you say to the question?
I totally agree. I've tried to do when I took over EastEnders is change up the writing room. I think EastEnders writing room was filled with straight middle class white men. And I got in there and we've shaken it up. We've got younger, much more diverse writers. You've got to get more diverse writers that I'm training up because they're the voices I want. I want young Muslim writers. It's not just about being gay. I want to show Britain my writers. For a long time, that wasn't the case on EastEnders. And that's why when EastEnders has lots of stories about straight men suddenly shagging much younger, pretty women who suddenly find a 45-year-old Bill Mitchell sexually attractive. Sorry, is that working? No.
Is there anyone on the sound desk?
Sorry, is anyone on the sound desk? So I made, in a nutshell, I made sure when I took over EastEnders that the writers were a lot more diverse, and so we're changing it on screen as much as possible.
Well, I can't really comment on the Hollywood thing because it's not kind of part of my life. I just know that as an actor, it's a really, really big deal when you do come out. And from my own personal experience, I was in a show called London's Burning back in the day, and I was 22, and it would have massively wrecked my career back in the day to come out. I would never have been cast as a straight character from there on in, and there weren't any gay characters being written. So I was kind of advised not to be in the closet, I just didn't do any press. So the show was a really huge show here, but I never did magazines or interviews or anything really. It was a horrible thing of deciding that I never wanted to lie, but so I just didn't do the interviews, if you know what I mean. And I said partner and stuff in the interviews that I did that then quite often got translated as boyfriend, just through people presuming. But it's changed now, you know, and we're proof of that. And I've loved playing, you know, I've played gay characters for the last 4 years, but it's 4 years out of 20 years of a career. So, and I'm quite happy with that. But I do think things are changing, but I think maybe Hollywood is quite a way back. I think maybe because the amount of money that's involved, the amount of money that has to be made back to, you know, justify that. But I think here, small time films and certainly television, I think it's massively changed.
Hello.
Is my mic working? Is that one
is working? Oh, this is working. You've got your own one now. How exciting. Have you experienced, you know, prejudice or homophobia in the industry since you've been out? I mean, casting directors?
We've yet to see, to be honest, because I went from lip service into Waterloo Road and then she came out, which wasn't the character when I was cast, but I was quite happy with that, because it's a completely different audience from lip service as well. It's a mainstream show. They allowed me to have a little bit of impact on the writing of that because they started a love triangle where it was me with a girl and a boy, which I wasn't too happy about in terms of... I basically went in and I said, I'm happy to do this storyline as long as she ends up with the woman. Please, please, please don't make it that she ends up with the guy and everybody says, oh, look there, it's fine, she's got a boyfriend now. So they let me have a say on that as well. But I've yet to see whether there's any prejudice because I've been doing my music. I'm only just sort of getting back out and auditioning. So I'll come back next year and tell you whether there's any prejudice.
Alicia, how did you decide to come out? Was it a big decision? Did you have a similar process to think about?
Yeah, I was very similar to Heather, actually, when I was doing a show called Bad Girls. I was playing quite a strong lesbian character. She was quite specific. And I was just scared to come out because of my career, essentially, and I thought I'd be put into a pigeonhole. Because they were strong characters, I think even casting directors had a kind of limited view about what you could do. So I just chose not to. Like, I remember doing an interview, quite a big interview, and I said, please don't ask about my sexuality, because I wasn't prepared to talk about it. I didn't want to. Because, again, I didn't want to lie, because you feel like you're cheating people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
totally.
Doing people a disservice, and, like, yeah. People who support you and stuff. And this guy, kind of, you know, he was chatting, and then he asked about a relationship, and I said, oh, I'm not in a relationship. And he said, oh, but you are straight, aren't you? And I found myself saying yes, because of the pressure that I felt at that time. And I thought, it was just like a quick reaction. I was really kicking myself afterwards, but I think it was the way he said it was, if I had just said, no, I'm actually a lesbian, that would have been a whole new, it would have been all about that. And I'm not defined about being a lesbian. It was like, I was 22, so a couple of years ago. You know, so it's things like that. But so I kind of, that's always stayed with me. And I thought, when I do Emmerdale, you know, I'm going to make a conscious decision to be out, because I feel like I've got a responsibility to be out, to be honest, to a lot of people, to a lot of young people, and that's, you know, why I want to do kind of as much. I think if you've got a platform and you've got an established platform to kind of help and, you know, support LGBT issues, then you should. That's how I feel. You know, it's a very personal choice whether you want to be out or
it's
not.
About where you feel. It's about where you feel as a person. I think, as well, I you know, my grandparents didn't know, and they were ferociously Catholic, and there was just all sorts of other stuff that was there that in my 30s didn't bother me anymore. So I think you have to be ready, and it has to be about where you are in your life that you're ready to handle it, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's something that maybe we don't talk about very much. It's actually quite exposing. I think, you know, coming out is very personal to everybody. And if you're famous, suddenly everybody on the bus knows.
Every single interview, that's what the questions are about now as well. Like, you don't do an interview without having to talk about your sexuality, which is ultimately me talking about what I do in the bedroom. You know, and I think after sort of 4 years of doing the same questions, you start to feel a bit, can somebody talk about something else, you know? There's a lot more to me than you know, than that.
Mm. Any more questions? I can't see very well, but this person just here with the blue T-shirt. Yes, you with the blue T-shirt, yes. Hello. Hello.
So, the last 12, 15 months, EastEnders and Emmerdale have introduced or reintroduced some really strong LGB characters, especially B characters. Have you got any plans, either you yourself or Kate and her team, to introduce any trans characters or trans stories? Oh. And if not, why not?
That was basically, you've done really, really well. EastEnders have great LGB characters. Have you got any plans for any trans characters?
We are looking at a trans storyline, but what I like to do on EastEnders, what we always do is we do all our research first. We try and get the research and get it all in our heads the way we want to go, because we want to tell it properly. And also, I would want to cast a trans actor as well.
Woo!
So you have to. You have to. You have to cast a trans actor. But you also don't want to mess up the story, because what EastEnders reaches so many people, and so many people who, a lot of our audience are quite traditional. And the power of EastEnders is we can change the world a little. You can change it gently and influence people who would be maybe quite bigoted before. But you don't want to mess it up. That's the flip side. And EastEnders in the past has messed up storylines. So I am intending to. It's not even, pen hasn't even hit paper properly yet, but the research is going on, and I'm looking for the actors, but also I need the character. I just don't want someone coming in who is trans. I want that character, and then they can be trans. That's secondary. Yeah, the most important thing is the character and the story, and that's what I try and do all the time. Otherwise, it's tokenism, and that's doing us a disservice. I don't think that's right.
That's spot on.
Eddie Redmayne is playing a trans character in the forthcoming film, The Danish Girl. What are your thoughts about that, Paris?
Yeah, I think everybody got a bit upset yesterday when they saw the publicity shots. Did everybody see Eddie Redmayne, like, dolled up as a trans woman? What does everybody think about that, good or bad? Yeah, bad. I think it's really interesting because we've seen on television, obviously Bethany, who should have been here, has been playing trans on screen, and obviously there's really exciting stuff happening in the States with Laverne Cox, which I don't need me to tell you. And I think that telly can do that, but I don't think that, Hollywood is quite there. I think coming back to the how much money's involved and stuff, because we just don't have the big stars that could carry a big budget Hollywood movie and kind of get people into theatres. But I think that television can take that chance. But I think the only way that we're going to change this is actually if the industry starts encouraging trans talent so that it's there. And ultimately, maybe that film wouldn't have been made if it didn't have Eddie Redmayne in it. I think it was Nicole Kidman originally, and then she dropped out and it got recast. Do I think it's a good or a bad idea? I don't speak for all trans people. My personal belief is that it's more authentic if a trans person's playing trans on screen, obviously. I think that there is, and this may be unfashionable to say so, but I do think there's a physicality to being trans. And I think it's all right watching Coronation Street and thinking, oh, you know, because my mum watches Coronation Street and she's like my barometer of...
EastEnders.
My mum loves the EastEnders too. But my mum's kind of like my barometer for kind of like normal woman. And you know, when she was watching Julie playing trans on screen, I don't even really think that she's thinking that this character is supposed to be trans. If you asked her, she'd go, oh yeah, she's meant to be a transsexual, isn't she? And I think we actually need to see real physical actual trans people in all our beautiful, you know, different forms, you know, big, tall, hefty trans women, if that's how we happen to be. And people need to see that and normalize it, but it won't happen until we encourage the talent, really. So I think that's something that needs to happen. Oh, and the other thing that I did want to say as well is it right or wrong? When somebody decides to make a big budget Hollywood movie about my fabulous life, if they even think about casting a man to play me, there will be hell to pay. So yeah, that's it really.
Okay, let's take another question. Hello. Yes, you. Hello. Right down here with the microphone. Hello.
Hi. So there's been a lot of representation of bisexual stories, like loads of them in subtext in TV and film. And like with the new House of Cards, the fictional president of the United States is bi, and that's great. But why did TV and film have such an issue with leaving it with subtext? Why won't they say the B word or even the G word? But it's more of a problem with bi people.
I couldn't quite hear that. Could you just say that last bit, just the question specifically, just a bit slowly, just because the acoustics in here are quite bad.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's not your fault.
Why does TV and film and writing have an issue with explicitly saying the B word or even the G word, but more with bi stories in film and stuff?
What do you think? They don't say the words enough?
Yeah, there's a lot of subtext and love triangles and sort of implications in TV and film, and that's great, but audiences need more than crumbs. And queer baiting, I guess, is also an issue. And I just wondered why that was.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I think you're saying, the last couple of days I turned on Emmerdale, I think it was, and I was watching Danny Miller. I don't know if you guys are watching it, and he's having some relationship with some married man, the naughty little thing. And it was interesting. Yeah, there was no discussion of the word gay. Are you gay? Are you this? Maybe it's because I haven't watched it for a long time. But is that what you're asking? Why are they not more specifically talking explicitly about things? Dominic, what's your take on that? I mean, I guess I would have thought it's probably because soap operas especially and lots of dramas, they don't go into, you know, the ins and outs of politics, rightly or wrongly. That doesn't happen very often. Even in Cucumber Banana, I don't think they've been talking specifically about... And what do you think about a gay person?
I think you've got to be very... I mean, EastEnders with the BBC, so we have to be very, very careful about what we say, and we everything is watched, and we're not allowed to get too political, whereas when it started, we were. But I still think with EastEnders, you're preaching to a lot of people who don't want to hear it, so therefore you've got to be a bit sly sometimes.
Dustin, your work is explicitly political, especially 8. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I think you can see it on YouTube, an amazing play that Dustin wrote and produced, which was awesome. So your work is explicitly political. Is that problematic, I suppose, for a mainstream audience? It's just, I mean, regardless of it being LGBT politics, I guess hardcore political programs have a limited audience to some extent, perhaps, do they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, not everything I do is political, but it seems to be the stuff that really succeeds. I think when you're working... In in the LGBT world right now, our lives are political. Our lives are up for debate politically. I was just in Ireland where I was having political debate about our personal lives. So it's sort of, you can't really separate the two right now, which is why things like coming out, which should be a personal choice, are politicized right now. And in fact, more necessary because of the political potency of that. So it's, it tends to drift towards the political because I feel like that's where I want to influence the debate. That said, I am doing a trans fight movie with Laverne Cox right now. So in terms of feature films with trans folks and about subjects that are outside of just quote-unquote transitioning, about actually just living your fucking life, we're doing that with Laverne right now, which will be awesome, and she's really cool. And it's not very political. It's more about, you know, landing punches and things like that.
When can we expect that?
Well, we're writing that right now, and it hasn't even been announced yet, so that's a bit of breaking news.
Exclusive. Student Pride exclusive.
But I couldn't hear this question, so I'm not sure what...
Basically, just why LGBT characters not more explicitly political in terms of actually talking about, like, you know, sexual politics and things like that and gay rights, specifically in TV shows. And I guess it's partly because it's for a very broad audience in soap operas and things like that.
Oh, right. Well, I also think there's a great value in us seeing, if we're talking about, say, bisexuality, you can see it expressed without it looking political. Even on a political show like House of Cards, it just is. And to start to show our relationships as they are, without necessarily having to point to them as political or as controversial, starts to dispel myths, starts to dispel lies, it helps create understanding. And I also think us being able to, in writer's room, start to incorporate our lives and our personal lives in ways that feel much more like the fabric of a people than, say, the storyline that's controversial will be very helpful in the world starting to understand us as a part of the fabric of their communities.
Great, thank you. Let's take another question. Anyone over here? Can I see a hand there? I can see your hand right at the back, right over here. Hello.
Hello, sorry.
Could you speak slowly, just because it's so echoey in here, as I'm sure you can tell.
Yeah, that's cool. With LGBT politics and changes in LGBT politics, like HIV changes and the blood ban and Section 28 repeals, is it important for soap operas and series that continue like Waterloo Road to keep up with these changes and like document them for that reason?
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, it's similar to the last question, but just...
What was the actual question?
Is it important for programs like Waterloo Road to actually keep up with these things that are happening? Like, I mean, obviously Section 28 is a long time ago now, but maybe discussing things like the blood ban or specific issues in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important within certainly EastEnders and soaps in general, Emmerdale and Waterloo Road, because then they're things that you talk about as a family, aren't they? You know, and I think that's fantastic when it's a show that the kids and mum and dad watch and everything. And it's like, if mum and dad are bigoted, boy, you've got some explaining to do now, you know. It's great.
We're storylining around the election at the moment, and we've got to be careful. It's the whole BBC thing, but we've got characters going, some characters are voting, some characters aren't voting. And we're trying to get as much of a discussion as we can on a show like this, but it's always in the limelight, EastEnders, so we've got to be gentle, but and not as political. Michael Cashman, who was there earlier, EastEnders used to be a lot more political, and we're still doing it under the covers, as it were.
I was going to say, so it was amazing to see Michael here today, especially this year. I mean, people forget, I'm researching a book at the moment, and he's an absolute hero. I was looking back through some of the clippings from the newspapers in the 80s, and I'm sure it was the same in the States as it was here. It was so homophobic in ways that you would not believe. And I remember being 11, 12, or 13 when they announced that Michael Cashman was going to be coming into EastEnders playing a gay character, and the Sun's front page was, "It's EastEnders." And it was like, "Poofs join soap." And that it was like that day after day after day.
And
after
that gay kiss that caused all the upset was a peck on the lips between two men. It was just a peck on the lips, and it caused outrage. And we have this thing called the Duff Duff. It's the end of the episode. It's the big dramatic point. And now one of my bans is no gay kiss can be a Duff Duff because it shouldn't be that shocking. Put them in the middle of the episode. It's not a Duff Duff. It's not life-changing.
Hurrah. Let's take another question. Down, right down there at the front. Yes, the second row, right over here. Here comes a microphone. I love your hair, by the way, right in front. You look awesome. Hello.
Hey, guys. My question was, is the journey, on the topic of moral progression here, is the journey or process for the most effective representational and social change within the film and television industry an organic one or an artificial one?
Ooh. What a complicated, intelligent question.
I'm sorry.
Is it organic or
should it be an organic or an artificial process?
In other words, do you mean should it just evolve naturally or should
should we use moral pressures and wait for people to gradually change their minds or should we invoke the law?
So like positive discrimination
and use quotas and or so on and so forth. Okay. Which one will bring about the most effective representational and
social
change?
Dustin.
You know, I'm having such a tough time hearing because of the echo and I'm getting old or something. I don't know. It's interesting in the States, and I'm curious how it works here. Really, what the film business is doing, and TV business in particular, is we're trying to keep up, frankly. We're trying to keep up with the change. You know, what is the most valuable thing in television? What is for sale in most television, maybe not the BBC? It's young eyes. It's not the products they're selling. They want young eyes. They want people in their teens and their 20s to be watching and tuning in. They know that if they don't incorporate trans stories, gay stories, lesbian stories, bisexual stories, these programs are going to feel stale, and they're not going to be representative of what young people are experiencing in school nowadays, what they're talking about online these days. So really, honest to God, the film and TV business is trying to catch up and trying to keep up with young people. So I don't think it's artificial at all. In fact, I think film and TV is behind. And really the job, and it's why I'll say thank you to you guys for coming, the job we have is to keep up. And in fact, to try and stay ahead. Like for feature films, I better know what's gonna be the topic of conversation in 2 to 3 years. The way I do that is coming to Q&As like this and to speak at student conferences and to hear what you're asking, because I think what you're asking is actually what's going to be interesting in 6 months or a year to the general population. So I think it's natural, and we better hurry if we're going to get it.
Paris, as the first trans person to ever be on the panel of Question Time, that deserves a cheer. That deserves a cheer, doesn't it? That was amazing, amazing. What's your view on that in terms of, you know, representation, inclusion of trans people in shows?
I just think we're so, like, there has been a lot of progress in the past few years, but I think we're so far behind when it comes to trans stuff, particularly in this country, I think that we should be taking more kind of active measures. And I think that, you know, a few years ago when I was a student, I was just saying to somebody earlier on, actually, that it's really interesting that I'm involved in all this stuff now, because when I was a student, I wasn't out as being trans. I was quite ashamed of that. I wasn't involved with my student union or my student newsletter or anything. And I kind of felt, I was very depressed, really down on my luck and everything. And I was in a really tough place. You know, I had like family rejection and all the rest of it. And you turn on the television to look for someone like you, you know, who's respected, who isn't being ridiculed, and they're just not there. And it's kind of like, even now, you know, what time and what channel do we turn on to see a trans person? Well, we've got Banana and Cucumber now, which is great. But, you know, it's still really few and far between. So I think that if you are experiencing family rejection, which you may well be if you're LGBT, if you're experiencing social rejection, which you may well be experiencing, if you know, you're getting abused just for walking down the street, and then you're also getting, you know, the piss taken out of you on television, and there's nobody to look to, that's really not good for your mental health. And I think that until we start seeing people who are celebrated in the media, then you know, young trans people are going to come up aren't going to have the hope. So I would like to see some drastic measures taken. I would absolutely love EastEnders to have a trans storyline, a nuanced kind of realistic trans storyline played by a trans person. That, like, I literally can't tell you what a difference that would have made to me when I was 14 or 15, and to my parents, because they just didn't have the information, you know. And everyone keeps saying we didn't know what to do, we don't know about trans people. You know, you guys are in a really unique position to change that. So I'm going to hold you to that promise. Okay. Don't I? Yeah.
Let's take another question. Oh, you standing there, yeah, four rows back. Yes, you with your hand there, yes. With the black top, I think, yes. Hello. This person here, yes. The person with the black and white next, but we'll have you afterwards, but if that makes sense. My eyesight is giving out, as well as my ears at the moment, so.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. I think we do have some good trans representation in recently, and particularly with trans women of color, Janet Mock, Laverne Cox, and this is amazing. But at the same time, there seems to be little representation on trans narratives that are non-binary. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so that was very hard to hear, but I think basically there's very little representation of non-binary people. Non-binary people, so people who don't identify as male or female, or, you know, can change depending on, you know, their circumstance or whatever. Do you have any thoughts on that? Dominic?
I think we've got to go one step at a time. I think you're going to try and represent everyone, but I think as soon as you have a list of things you've got to tick, that's the problem. I think the idea is to organically do it. I agree. I think that's my next thing. I've got to try and change the world a little step at a time. But you can't do it all overnight. And again, I've got a list of things of different unserved characters in my head. You've got to find the right time to do it, because otherwise it could go tits up, and that's the worst thing. But yes, everyone, you want to represent everyone, and as you were saying, that's our job, and our job is to keep up with it. But the flip side is, you don't want to let people down by suddenly just having everyone suddenly served on screen, and they're not the right characters, and you're not telling the right stories. So yes, we do have to represent everyone, but slowly, slowly.
I remember actually.
Do you? Did you see that? We're talking about people who don't identify male or female, right? Okay. Did you see that look of confusion on all of our faces, mine included? That's why it's so fucking awesome to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that issue fully yet, and now I'm so curious about it, right? And I know when I'm in the United States and I'm speaking, if I just say LGBTQ and I leave out QIA and all these, I get shit from... My language has been really bad in this room. I hope it's not being broadcast. But, so I don't know yet, and I would love to talk to you, and I would love to understand that further, because then we'll probably be turned on and be like, oh my gosh, we have to have that in a story. What is that? You know what I mean? So I don't know, and thank you. Help me.
Paris. Thank you.
Can I just say, like, I'm really, really impressed with that response there. I work with a project called All About Trans, and basically we go around, because I used to kind of do like kind of, you know, this is wrong, you're doing this wrong kind of activism. We wanted to do something a bit more positive. We actually went into EastEnders actually, and went around Albert Square and met some of your team, and we've been to Emmerdale, we go on newspapers and stuff, and basically just go and introduce young trans people to them. We often take non-binary people who don't identify as either gender, because without meaning to be rude, like literally the level of understanding, the people who are writing scripts, writing headlines, or, you know, making magazines, whatever it is in the media, is for trans stuff generally kind of like down somewhere between like here and here, like really kind of low down. And like, we don't really go in with an agenda, like saying, you know, we want you to write a trans story, we want you to do this, we want you to do that, but literally just meeting people and having a face-to-face conversation and talking about these different identities, we often find we have the reaction like that where people go, actually I didn't even realize that I didn't know about this, and are really intrigued by it. Obviously, as creative people, you know, you would be, but I think we're such a long way off having a non-binary, I can't even think of one. Can you think of a single instance of someone? And there are people like that, you know, but they're just not being shown on screen. But I would think that maybe if we were going to see something like that, I would probably like to see that done in a really kind of like serious kind of film, and actually looked at from a really intelligent perspective. And then I don't know, I think there'd be quite a journey to go before we could get it into a kind of really popular mainstream kind of but we have to get there eventually, don't we?
We're always looking for new stories, and that for both of us is like, that's a new story, that's something exciting, that, you know, that's what we want.
Absolutely. I remember actually Ricky Beadle Blair. Do you remember after Queer as Folk, Channel 4 did another drama, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was called.
Metrosexuality.
That was it. Wasn't and it? I think maybe there was a bigger spectrum of representation in that, but I think for whatever reason, editorial decisions, maybe the programme didn't work quite as well in the way that they had hoped it would. It didn't take off. Maybe the audience, including some of us, were just going, oh my goodness, we're just reeling from Queer as Folk. But that's something to think about, isn't it? You all get credits in the next series of EastEnders. Not series, next batch of episodes. It never stops. So let's take a question from the person who had their hands up there. Yeah, with the black and white checked top. Just over here. Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello. Firstly, could I talk to you later about non-binary identities? I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Just later. But awesome. My actual question is, I've kind of noticed a lot of the TV shows you're talking about are mainly for older audiences and, you know, maybe teen and above. I was wondering what you guys think about talking about LGBT plus issues in kids' shows, you know, whether to make it very obvious or, you know, make it kind of subtle. Like, I know there's examples like Gravity Falls, where they tried to have a lesbian relationship, but they were stopped, or something along those lines. What do you guys think about having LGBT issues in, like, kids' shows or...
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Awesome. So LGBT issues in kids' shows. Now, this is interesting as well, because in the 80s, around the time when Michael Cashman was around, there was a book called Jenny Lives with Eric and Martin, a really lovely Dutch book about a young girl who lived with her two gay fathers. And it literally caused a huge furore, fired up by the Sun, and eventually Section 28 was brought in, which nearly, well, did kill lots of people through depression and addiction, because it just absolutely slandered us and attacked us. So this is a hot topic, I would say. Alicia, do you have any thoughts on this?
I do. I think it's really important, to be honest. I know there's quite a lot of literature, kids' books that kind of deal with things like that, and it's done in a really nice way, whereas my favourite one is this book called Space Girl Pukes, which my partner reads to her kids, and it's about this girl, but she's got two mums. But it's not about the fact that she's got two mums, it's about the fact that she's just puking up all the time. So it's kind of like doing it in a gentle way and absolutely normalising it for kids. So it's not about, these are lesbians, and I'm not pointing those things out, it's just about, you know, a different issue, or this is the family and this is what works. So I think literature's definitely going a way forward. I'm not sure about, I haven't seen enough kids' programmes to comment on that, but it needs to move forward, I think, definitely, as well. And it is just about normalising it and not making an issue of being LGBT at all, I think.
Heather?
Well, I just think it's a case of in kids' situation, I don't think it's about look at the gay parents. I think it's about looking at all different families and parents as a whole, which I know Stonewall does a lot of with... I've seen loads of their artworks and stuff that goes up in schools, which is everything from single mum, single dads, two mums, grandparents looking after kids, so old mum and dad, young mum and dad. You know, I think the way to do it with schools, and not to get that ridiculous, outrageous reception that we get when... Because what's really annoying about the LGBT issue is that people always bring it back to sex. Why can't they just bring it back to love? Because that is ultimately what we're talking about. So... That is the only reason that they get all bloody a bee in the bonnet about introducing it to children, because they think you're going to teach them how to do, like, I don't know, whatever, you know, gay karma sutra, I don't know. But the fact is, it's about putting that gay family just in with all elements of other families. That's what's important.
Kids are so accepting. Do you know what I mean? They don't see colour. They don't see race. They don't judge at all. So if you get it in there, as, you know, as when they're really young, they just grow up like it's normal, and that's what we need to be doing.
Dominic, do you think? How do you think kind of commissioning editors would respond to programme ideas?
I think again, if you suddenly, it's about being gentle. It's about being clever. And it's about. I remember growing up just thinking I just didn't want to be different, and that's the main thing. You just don't want to be different. You want to be normal, whatever normal is. You want to fit in. That's, and you look to things, television shows and films, and try and find yourself. And I think it's happening a lot more, but it could be a lot better. I mean, when I was a kid, the thought of gay parents in a children's book would be out. You just wouldn't think about it. Mm. But the fact that that's happening. But the way to do it is if it's portrayed as normal, to kids, and you're growing, and with realm of all sorts of things, and you're growing up with it, then the world's going to be a little bit nicer for those kids when they're older. Surely, it's never going to be perfect, but we can change without being Pippi Longstocking. We can make the world a little bit happier.
Correct,
Dustin. I was going to say rather smugly, you know, how would Middle America deal with, you know, young people and children, you know, LGBT characters and things? But actually, you know, we've had Glee, we've had quite a lot of interesting representation of young LGBT people from American programs.
I'm confused because I thought growing up that every single Disney musical cartoon was a gay film. So I think we've been doing it for generations in America, but maybe I'm wrong. We're making some pretty good progress in terms of TV shows and films that depict that appeal to young people and depict mostly like gay characters, but also gay and lesbian families. I think it's kind of what I spoke to earlier. It's because in America it's all advertiser driven and they really want those young eyes and they want it to feel topical and representational. I will say on the normal front, it's such the struggle because we were gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. We've been normal for a very long time. Our families have been normal for generations. We're so incredibly underrepresented in television and film, that some people still have the misconception that we're somehow not normal and that we're not everywhere. They're the ones who are crazy and wrong. What we need is for film and television to catch up.
Paris.
Yeah, I can only really second that. I think there's this huge kind of like moral panic, isn't there, when we talk about LGBT and kids' TV. It's, oh no, we can't do that, it's a bit too much. I wish I could remember her name, but there's a really great activist who's campaigning for better media representation of the Chinese community. And she actually pitched a show, and I think it went out on BBC Three, and it was about a Chinese family, and she was, you know, wanting to raise awareness, and that went out and it was great, everybody loved it. And I think that I read somewhere that there's as many people of Chinese descent in the UK as there are transgender people. Now, the thought of having a kind of kids' TV show about trans people, trans issues, does feel like a long way off. And the only thing I would say to that is why? You know, like, I'm trans, you know, we're gay, we're trans, you know, like, why can't we depict the world as it is? What are we pretending to kids that this doesn't exist? Well, I think we need to get real, because at the end of the day, kids are going to go to school, the other kids that they're going to go with are going to have gay parents, some of their classmates are going to grow up and be gay or trans, and that's okay. You might be sitting next to a gay or a trans person on the bus, and that's fine. So what is the point of kids TV pretending that the world is other than it is, you know? So let's have some trans people in kids TV and some gay people, and just more gay and trans people generally, really.
Agreed. Okay, do you have a mic for this gentleman just down here, please? Hello.
Hiya. So you talked about underrepresentation, and in terms of equality and diversity, is it hard to get like a natural transition and naturally have characters in TV programs? Because in places like Emmerdale and Walford and things like that, it's not like half the population is going to be gay or bi or trans or lesbian. So is it hard to have a natural flow and make it natural rather than forcing it?
Do you mean in terms of just like a representation which feels realistic suddenly, rather than like the LGBT, drama club turning up next door and being taken over Emmerdale?
And like the level of characters in that.
So as in, is there a risk of it being too many, perhaps? Was it someone, who was it? There was some gay person, famous.
When Phil Collinson did Coronation Street,
oh, yes,
there was a stage when there were quite a few gay storylines going on at the same time, and Phil's gay. And the red top suddenly went, oh, he's got a gay agenda, and suddenly Coronation Street's too gay. And this is what I mean by, we've got to be so careful, because suddenly you could put off the people you want to talk to. One of the big things we did when I started, I cast Danny Dyer, and Danny Dyer's a hard man, a hard British man who's known for groaning a lot. And his following is lager swilling straight men, basically. And what we did very early on was, his son came out and it wasn't done in a big fanfare way. He came out on the sofa, and his dad, played by this Danny Dyer, hugged him and cried and said, "It's okay, I love you, I don't care what you are." And for me, that moment was as much for the little boys and girls and everyone out there, but mainly for the dads, for the people like Danny Dyer, who go, "Oh, if he can do that, then I can do that." And the letters EastEnders got from that little human moment were massive, from parents mostly saying, "Okay, my daughter, I'm looking at her differently. My trans kid, I'm looking at them differently." It made them realize a little bit. And that's what I mean by being gentle. It's little things like that, that if you make it human and you let people identify with it, we can do whatever we want. But then I think suddenly you've got to walk this tight line. I don't want people suddenly going, "Oh, EastEnders has got a gay agenda, I'm not going to watch it anymore." I think the thing is to have a kindness agenda. And actually, you can change the world a bit. I keep saying that, but that's something I feel strongly about.
Do people say that to you? Do people say, "Oh, there's too many gay characters"? Is it read? You know,
a little.
The
they
audience,
can or? Do. They can do. You sure? I mean, I've got a lesbian couple. I've got a new gay character coming in the we've just cast, who's coming in the next few months. And you've got to keep that balance as well. And my trans person as well. Don't forget.
I'm going to hold you to that. Does anyone have a question about? Cucumber or banana, considering we've got this huge program series on at the moment. This person right at the back with their hand up, right at the very back. Who's been watching Cucumber and Banana? Who's stayed with it? Who has turned off from it and not enjoyed it? And let's just see, from the people who did like it, who's enjoying it and liking it and engaging with it? And who's not? Oh, well, so there's generally a positive reaction. There was something I was going to mention, that's something that Boy George tweeted about this week's episode of Cucumber. It may contain a spoiler if I mention it in a minute. Is that all right with you if you haven't seen it? Is that okay? I'll tell you when. You can put your fingers in your ears. Okay, but let's take the question from the person at the back first.
Just talking about the role of film and TV and having a responsibility in portraying LGBT people in a realistic and positive light. So just looking at the stereotypes that there exist already and that some films may be adding to in a way. So in Cucumber and Banana, there's stalking of straight people by a lesbian. There's gay people that are obsessed with sex. And issues such as this, which I think aren't helping anything.
Awesome. So you're basically saying, is it enforcing stereotypes, perhaps? Is that right? Now, this is what Boy George... So put your fingers in your ears if you don't want to know what happened. Oh, God, should I say it? Lance got murdered by somebody on Thursday. It was really upsetting. I cried, actually. It was really upsetting. And Boy George, now, I think the reaction on Twitter and generally has been really, really positive because it was absolutely brilliantly done. I thought it was incredible. But there were a few voices who didn't agree. And Boy George actually tweeted, "Cucumber is brilliant in so many ways, but why must all gay characters and gay relationships be cliched and tragic? It's 2015. So I thought that was really, really interesting. Now, I adore Boy George, but Boy George has had a very colourful life, I think it has to be said. So I thought that was really interesting. So this idea that should we be showing the full range of LGBT behaviour? Should gay people always be positive? Should it be like a PR job? Or if we are showing some of the more negative aspects of LGBT characters, as all characters have negative aspects, is that reinforcing a stereotype? Alicia, your turn. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Personally, I think it's a really good representation. I think, first and foremost, it's a drama. So it's got to be dramatic. So these characters have got to have an edge to them, you know, and it's not just about them being gay. It's about their lifestyle, which is a gay lifestyle, trans lifestyle or whatever. But I think, you know, you're not ever going to please everybody. I think, you know, there's, within the LGBT community, there's so many different types of people who lead their life in very different types of ways. And I think, so the people that are writing these things, I think they've got every right to kind of focus on certain aspects of those characters. You know, I think, again, stuff will move forward in the future, definitely. I think as far as writing and maybe broadening things a bit is concerned and storylines, etc., etc. But I think at the minute it's a really true thing. You know, I'm not down on Cucumber and Banana at the minute. I know a lot of people are thinking the same thing, but personally I think it's a good thing. You know, it's dramatic, it's entertainment as well. Do you know what I mean? I think you don't want to
you need these characters and you need their storylines. And there are people out there like that who are living those lives in that way. So I think it's absolutely fair, to be honest. Yeah.
Dustin, do you have any views on that? You know, is it problematic to be showing, like I think the gentleman at the back was saying, that a lot of the gay characters are sex-obsessed? Is that are obsessed with sex? Is that a problem? Is
right.
that okay?
I mean, I haven't seen it. Have I haven't seen the show. I'm still catching up on and orienting myself with British television. Mm. But I will say, my concern is rarely to never how we're depicted. It's making sure that we're depicted in equal numbers to how we exist in real life. Like the variations of those depictions, let them be broad. Let us be the bad guy and the good guy and miserable and happy and all of that. Certainly, is there room for more happy endings in LGBT stories? Absolutely. Like, let's get creative and do that. But I'm not going to be down on most anybody, except in some extreme examples, for depicting LGBT people.
Paris.
I'd love to jump in actually, because I think with the trans thing, I think that we do have gay writers and people from different backgrounds. I think when trans stories are being told, they're almost invariably being told by people who aren't trans, and I think that's a problem. And I think that whenever we see a trans story being told on screen, it's almost inevitably focusing on the fact that they are trans and their transition. And even in Orange is the New Black, which I love to bits and love Laverne and everything, it's about the fact that she transitions. And yeah, it's just so fucking boring, actually. I want to, not Orange is the New Black, but just generally this theme. And I think one of the topics that's come up today is this idea of stories that just aren't being told. And I think that, for example, you know, if you've got trans kid who's transitioning at school with the support of their parents, you know, that's a really, really rich source of drama. You know, this can tear marriages apart, communities apart. You know, I've spoken to parents of trans kids and, you know, in their local community, people that they went to school with, they've been friends with for 30 years, and then, you know, putting hate mail through the letterboxes, and then they've got, you know, the Daily Mail outside their doorstep and they've got to move away. Why aren't we hearing those stories? You know, this is really interesting stuff, and we're just hearing the same old boring stuff of, oh, here's someone who happens to be trans. Oh, we're going off for an operation. Isn't it awful? And I think it's a real shame. And I can't remember what the question was now. But
it's a beautiful
more
answer.
Trans
it doesn't
people
matter.
On television, please.
Heather, we agree. We definitely agree. Last Tango in Halifax. A little spoiler about that. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Last Tango in Halifax?
Yes.
The two lesbian, the couple, they were very happy. I didn't actually see it, but I read about it quite a lot.
Yes.
They're very happy, and then suddenly one of them dies in a car crash. And there was an article in The Guardian saying, you know, are lesbians never allowed to live? Are they never allowed to have a happy ending?
Bullshit,
what's your thought
that?
About that?
I saw all that online, and I know everybody got really mad because there was like a beautiful central lesbian love story, and then one of them dies. But the fact is, they died while they were at the peak of being in love. That character then returned ghost-like and was in Sarah Lancashire's life. Do you know what I mean? And it's what I said before, for the first time, the nation as a whole that watched it gave a crap so much about that central love story that was the biggest, most dramatic thing Sally Wainwright could do. And I just think as a community, you can't always have your particular story told. You can't, it's just not possible. And we need to just support those writers that are giving us those stories. You know, I saw Harriet Brown, who wrote Lip Service, get so much stick, but she was out there doing it, putting her neck on the line and writing brilliant drama that wasn't just about being a lesbian. That Last Tango in Halifax for me was the pinnacle of where we are with TV at the moment, because I can't tell you the sort of people who are watching that from where I come from. It's changed families, honestly. Like, talking to my mum and dad about it, they live in Halifax, you know. And people, you know, living down the road from them really, really cared that she died because of the love story. And it wasn't about sex. And I know it was a little bit about coming out, but it was about a family and having a baby. And I haven't answered any questions again.
No, it was awesome. Is there any chance of another series of Lip Service, do you think? I'm being waved. We have to finish in a minute.
Is there any chance, what, of Lip Service?
Another series of Lip Service, do you think?
No more Lip Service. And I, no.
Well, there'll be something else amazing coming soon, and it'll be full of everybody, and it'll be fantastic. So we're going to wrap up now, but thank you very much for coming. I want you to please thank everyone here. We've got some real pioneers on this server. Everyone's done an amazing, doing amazing things in the world. So thank you for coming, and thank you, everybody, to Alicia Eo, to Heather Peace, Dominic Treadwell, Collins, Paris Lees, and Dustin Lance Black. Thank you so much. Have an amazing weekend. Please be careful. I don't want to sound like your old uncle, but if you're going to have sex, please have safe sex. I'm so patronizing, but you have to do it. Have an amazing time. Lots of love, and we'll see you very soon. Thank you very much.